You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Ha! Got him! That should keep the First Order off our backs.
Nice work, Paul. Tim, are we set to make the jump?
Yep. The engines are primed and coordinates for the rendezvous are set.
All right, strap in and let's get this intel delivered to the Resistance. Punch it!
You're listening to Star Wars, The Saga Continues. Your hosts, Kyle Avery, Tim Girasi, and Paul Herman, are scouring the holonet for news and bringing you all of the latest updates on the future of the Star Wars universe. And the future is bright indeed. So we invite you to join us on this exciting journey as the saga continues.
What's up, Star Wars fans, and welcome back to another episode of Star Wars, The Saga Continues, your podcast for all the latest news, rumors, and updates on all the cool and exciting projects going on in the Star Wars universe. As always, I'm your host, Kyle. We got no Paul with us today, but I'm joined by my co-host, Tim. How's it going, Tim?
What's up, Kyle? Boy, I'll tell you, that excitement and that feeling you get of when you're going to see some new Star Wars content or footage from new Star Wars content that you've known about, but it's something totally different that you have no idea how it's going to be. It never loses that excitement that, for me anyway, of knowing that we're getting to see new Star Wars that we haven't seen before. That was the case with the Acolyte trailer, which we'll be getting into tonight. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about that and some other stuff that's been going on in the Star Wars universe since we last recorded.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, and it's been a while. I mean, it's been a while since we've put out an episode. It's been even longer since I was on, because our last episode was just you and Paul. And then the last time you and I recorded together before that was our Lord of the Rings bonus episode for the Thundercrack Patreon. So yeah, it's been a while since we've been on here talking Star Wars, and obviously, you know, Paul wasn't able to make it this time, so hopefully we can all get back together soon. Yeah, we got a lot to catch up on. Obviously, we're now like about halfway through the season of Bad Batch, and so I think our next episode will probably focus more on that, and just kind of catch up and, you know, give our thoughts on the season so far and kind of talk about how things are going there. But yeah, this is going to be a little bit more of just kind of like a recent news recap. And then, yeah, of course, we got the Acolyte trailer this week, so we're going to talk a lot about that. But before we get to the Acolyte trailer and the news about that and everything, let's get into some of these other updates. First of all, and I don't even remember if we mentioned this on a previous episode, because I don't know when this was first announced. But obviously this year, being 2024, is the 25th anniversary of the release of The Phantom Menace. And so they had previously announced that The Phantom Menace would be returning to theaters this year, that weekend of May the 4th. And it'll be back for, I don't know, a limited run. I don't remember if they said exactly how long it'll be playing for.
I think it's just that day.
Well, I think it's at least that weekend.
At the most, I guess it'd be for the weekend, but no longer than that, I don't believe.
I could be wrong. I assumed it would just be for like a week. Yeah, well, guys, it's, so it says it'll be returning to theaters starting May 3rd.
Okay.
So that to me implies that it's not just on May 3rd. So yeah, it's got to be at least for that weekend, maybe the whole week. Yeah, I don't think it'll go too much longer, because then you're getting into like summer movie season, and there's, you know, going to be a lot of other stuff booked. But anyway, like, it, you know, regardless, it would be cool to just get the chance to see Phantom Menace again in the theater for its anniversary. It's always a fun time getting to see Star Wars movies on the big screen. I already feel so old, like, from the amount of comments and stuff I see from people online who are excited about this, going like, oh, man, I loved watching Phantom Menace on VHS, like, as a kid, and now, you know, I'll finally get to see it in theaters, because, like, I wasn't born yet when it came out, or I was, you know, I was too young to go see it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, how are you that young that you didn't see Phantom Menace in theaters?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah,
that was during the special editions. Yeah, and now full generation later, it's happening with the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, but you know, it'll be cool to get to see it regardless with, you know, people that are experiencing it for the first time and people that are reliving, you know, that that magic from 25 years ago for those of us that got to see it back then. But then also just today they announced that as a special engagement for May the 4th, they're also going to be having marathon screenings of the entire Skywalker saga episodes 1 through 9 in theaters on May 4th. And man, for those of you that have the endurance to spend an entire day at the movie theater, somebody said, I saw somebody was like, you know, oh, I don't know if I want to, but maybe it was you, Tim, where you're like, I don't know if I want to spend 20 hours in the theater. And I had to stop and do the math. Like, I was like, wait, is that really 20 hours? But yeah, it's pretty close. And I'm like,
yeah, I mean, you average each movie's 2 hours. That's 18 hours right there. But some like Attack of the Clones, Last Jedi are like pushing 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I think it'd be Last Jedi. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much all over 2 hours. I think the shortest is A New Hope and it's like 204. But yeah, I'm pretty sure like all the prequels and all the sequels are more in like the 2 hour, 15, 20 minute range. So yeah, that's a long day and I'm on the fence. I'm like, I'm definitely at least going to go see Phantom Menace, but I'm also like, oh, do I want to buy a ticket for the whole marathon screening and maybe just show up for like, you know, a few of the movies or something? I mean, not to be, you know, a sequel trilogy hater or something and go, oh, I would only go for 1 through 6 because those are the real Skywalker saga or whatever. But like the 1 through 6 are the movies I'd be more interested in seeing in theaters, like more interested in seeing again in the theater just because the sequel trilogy is the most recent. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen those in theaters several times over the last few years, but you know, it's been a while since I've seen any of 1 through 6. I guess I did go see Return of the Jedi in theaters for its 40th anniversary recently, but yeah, I'm like, of course you gotta see, like, I would want to go see Phantom Menace anyway for the 25th anniversary, but I'm like, if I could, you know, buy that marathon ticket and just go for like Revenge of the Sith, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, that would be worth the money right there just to see those on the big screen. But yeah, I don't know. It's something to contemplate because the tickets go on sale tomorrow. So definitely going to at least get Phantom Menace tickets, but I'll at least have to check out and see like how much the tickets are for the marathon screening and what time they start and everything. We're also going to be moving around that time. So I'm like, I probably can't commit 20 hours in a day to, you know, sitting in the theater all day, sure. But it's tempting. It's one of those things where like, you almost want to just be able to say you did it once, as, you know, like a badge of honor. I remember back in high school, I did, you know, it wasn't in a theater, just watching at home. Like I did a marathon of 1 through 6 all in one day, and felt pretty proud of myself after that. And like summer break in high school was the last time I had time to, you know, spend even like 12 or 15 hours or however long it was just watching Star Wars movies all day. So yeah, I don't know, it's quite the feat, but it's cool that you know, that opportunity is going to be there to just experience these movies on the big screen again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really cool. I just love the fact that Lucasfilm is doing this to celebrate May the 4th, to have all 9 episodes of the Skywalker saga to see on the big screen. It's just awesome. Like when I first saw, like, oh, this is cool, like I'm there. And then when I started thinking about it as far as like how long it would be, it's like, oh man, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that for the whole day. It's like I said, almost pretty much almost 24 hours. Like I'm really curious to see what time it's going to start and what time it's going to end, because obviously they're going to have some little breaks and intermissions. Mm-hmm. I would imagine between some of the films, or maybe there'll be short breaks between each film, and at the end of each trilogy there'll be a longer break to eat an actual meal and stuff like that. So I'm really curious to see tomorrow how the breakdown is going to be. But yeah, I'm like, you just torn and like wondering if I should get tickets for it and maybe just get one to have and see how the day goes and pick a few movies here and there. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to get it, you got to do it all. You got to experience the whole thing. So yeah, we'll see. But it's, again, just really cool that they're doing it. And kind of like how you were saying, if it was something where it only worked out where I could just see a few of the movies, I just really would love to see the prequel trilogy on the big screen again. It's been so long since I've seen any of those on the big screen. The last one would be once episode one had its 3D release back in 2012, early 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. But like Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, I would love to see those in a movie theater again. That's been over 20 years for episode two, but episode three, we're getting close on there. And I remember wanting to go to that special 3D screening they had at Celebration Anaheim in 2015 and just how it was just really, really packed.
Yeah.
Didn't quite make it in there. Didn't get there early enough to wait online. So missed out on that. Just always wanted to get to see those two on the big screen again. So those would like be the main two I would love to see in the theater. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But like you, definitely going to get the tickets to see Phantom Menace again. That in itself is going to be cool to experience again on his 25th anniversary, which, like you said, it's hard to believe if it's that old. So, but regardless, if whether you decide to go see all nine or just do the Phantom Menace, should be a fun way to celebrate May the 4th on for this year. It's, I mean, you can't think of a better way just to watch every movie in the Skywalker saga. So for those of you who are definitely going to do it, no-brainers, I salute you. Hope you have a great time doing it. And just a great day to celebrate Star Wars by watching the movies that we love so much. So just hats off to Lucasfilm for doing this. And I've been banging the drum for a while now how I wish we'd get more like special theatrical releases for the movies, similar to how it was in the special edition, where each movie has a couple of weeks just to stay in theaters and give fans of a new generation who haven't had the opportunity to see some of these movies in a theater, like the ones you were talking about, who are going to be seeing Phantom Menace for the very first time with this re-release. So I just wish it was done more often. So, but at least we got one day. So yeah, definitely just going to be a great time to, and just a great way to celebrate Star Wars for May the 4th this year.
Yeah, definitely. And if nothing else, I hope this sets a precedent that like for every subsequent like big anniversary, like when we get to the 25th anniversary of Attack of the Clones and then Revenge of the Sith, that they re-release those as well.
Yeah, I really
and I feel like they've been doing. I mean, I don't remember there being a lot of. See, it's weird because I don't remember there being a lot of screenings for A New Hope for its 40th anniversary. I remember some for Empire Strikes Back for its 40th, but like that was also 2020, so that was during the pandemic and stuff like that. But then yeah, they did kind of make a big deal with like the theatrical screenings of Return of the Jedi, so. Yeah, hopefully this will start to be a more common thing where, you know, especially in years where there is no like new Star Wars movie coming out. Maybe that's also why they didn't re-release A New Hope, is like, you know, they're gearing up for Last Jedi back in 2017. But yeah, like years where there's no new Star Wars movie coming out in theaters and it's an anniversary year for one of the older ones. Like, yeah, just put it back in theaters. I'll go see it. I know you will. I know a lot of other people will. So, yeah, but hopefully it's a good time, you know, going to just get to see Phantom Menace again on the big screen with, you know, like that crowd atmosphere is always great, too. Just getting to be surrounded by fellow fans. I got to do that with Lord of the Rings recently, too. Like they re-released, you know, Lord of the Rings in theaters back a couple months ago or something. And it's always like, you know, it's cool seeing it on the big screen, but also just getting the audience reaction and. You know, watching it with people who love this stuff as much as you do is just always a blast. So, yeah, very much looking forward to a great way to spend May the 4th this year. So, you know, as of the time you guys are going to be listening to this, the tickets will be on sale already. So, you know, hope everybody's able to get the seats they want and everything. So, yeah, that'll be a good time. So we're going to move on down the list here. Start off with some positive news, talking about that. And now we got some stuff to take the wind right out of your sails, which, as has been the case lately, the bad news is the Star Wars gaming news. Which, first of all, I mean, it hasn't been a great time for the games industry lately anyways, like in general, like outside of just Star Wars, there's been a lot of studios that have been having layoffs and stuff. And this was back like towards the end of February. Like there was, I think it was announced that like EA was doing layoffs at some of its studios, including Respawn. And you think, oh no, like Respawn is making Star Wars games, so I hope that's, you know, doesn't affect those. And then sure enough, it comes out pretty soon after that the first person shooter game that Respawn was working on has been scrapped. Respawn, of course, also is the developer of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, and they did assure everybody that work on the third Star Wars Jedi game is still progressing. But yeah, it's a bummer. Like, I was looking forward to that, their first-person shooter game, and then details about it came out, and apparently it was going to be a Mandalorian-focused game. We don't know if it's, you know, if it was about the Mandalorian, you know, Din Djarin, or if it was like a Boba Fett game or what, but just it was going to be like a first-person shooter game where you get to play as a Mandalorian with the, you know, the armor and the jetpack and the rockets and the whole bag of tricks. You know, because Respawn also is known for their shooter games like Apex Legends and Titanfall, and so you think of like the acclaim they've had with those types of shooter games and bring that to a game where you get to play as a Mandalorian. It sounds like a match made in heaven, right? Well, apparently the execs at EA thought that nobody was going to want to play it because it didn't involve Jedi and lightsabers, and so they just tossed it by the wayside. So just
that type of thinking just yeah.
And you know, just saying that out loud, I'm like, haven't we been down this road before? Right. Wasn't there another scrapped, like, because I know before Ubisoft, there wasn't there an EA studio? Maybe it was like the Visceral game.
Yeah, that's
that
the one that's
working on, like an open world scoundrel game or something like that. That I think they ended up scrapping for the same reason, where they were like, well, we really want to focus on Jedi and lightsabers because that's what people really love about Star Wars. It's like, no, like, we love the Jedi and the lightsabers, but also what we love about Star Wars is the fact that the universe is so much bigger than that, and you can tell all different types of stories. And, you know, I mean, if you think a Star Wars game needs lightsabers and Jedi and Force powers to be successful, just look at Republic Commando.
Right.
As, you know, an example of one of the most beloved Star Wars games of all time, where it's a first-person shooter game with no Jedi in it, so... yeah, I don't know. It sucks that we keep going around and around on this same, you know, this merry-go-round of canceled Star Wars games that we can't seem to get off of. And then you think, well, at the very least, Aspyr is re-releasing the Battlefront Classic Collection. So even if, you know, they can't get these new games off the ground, at least we can go back and relive the glory days of Battlefront 2. Can't go wrong with that, right? Well, no, apparently you can go wrong with that if your launch day servers can only hold up to 200 people. good grief, man. I'll tell you what. I mean, I feel like this is almost not fair to say, because I know I'm sure it was totally different people that were working on the KOTOR remake. But after seeing the launch of this, and there was also some controversy recently where I think Aspyr re-released like Knights of the Old Republic 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Cause like that's mostly their bread and butter, is just like re-releasing, not even like remasters necessarily, but just like updated ports of older games, like on, so they're playable on newer consoles. And they released KOTOR 2 on the Switch. Well, KOTOR 2 like had a rush development and had some content that was missing at launch. And then there was like a mod for PC that restored some of the content that was cut. And they had promised that that mod was going to be included in the Switch version. And then they never got around to releasing it, and then ended up kind of backtracking on the promise, saying that they weren't able to do that. And like, people wanted refunds because there were people that only bought it because they promised that mod. And like, that was a whole mess. And then you get this whole Battlefront launch fiasco. And I'm just like, part of me is like, man, I'm glad these guys didn't end up having, you know, the Knights of the Old Republic remake in their hands. Cause as much as it sucks watching that game go through development hell and like not being released anytime soon, you know, I guess we can still hold on to a sliver of hope that it'll be released one day and be good and not have the type of launch that these games are going through right now. So, yeah, it's crazy. I was really excited, obviously, for the Battlefront Classic Collection. I bought it. I got on the first night. I couldn't connect to any of the games I tried to join in Battlefront 1. I went over to Battlefront 2, was able to join a couple games, but it was laggy, and I was playing as a Jedi, and my lightsaber wasn't making any sounds, and it was just like, this whole thing is a mess.
wow. Yeah. If you can't hear the hum of your lightsaber, I mean, really, what's the point?
Yeah. Well, and it was weird. So I just joined a random match. I think like I joined one of the ones where it was like the big hero matches where everybody's playing as a hero, like Hero Assault or whatever. And I wasn't like trying to join that. I was just kind of trying to join the first like full match that I could get into. And so I'm running around. And again, because it also was just kind of like laggy and the frame rate wasn't great. But it was just like something feels off about this. Because also like other people's lightsabers were making noise. So you could hear sound effects and stuff. I was just like, this feels quiet. It feels like something's missing. And then I was like, oh, my lightsaber is not making noise. That's what's missing.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah, I was going to get these eventually. But right now, my gaming attention is all on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I'm taking my sweet time with the game. I know a lot of people have beaten already. I'm like 40 hours into it. I'm barely halfway through because I've been doing side quests, minigame. It's awesome. I'm having a blast with it. So any new game that's coming out now, like, okay, I'll put that on my list to play later. And the Battlefront Classic Collection was definitely one of them. But then when I saw your reaction and this, the other reviews I was seeing for, it's like, good thing I'm waiting on this one. I mean, hopefully they get it fixed, but at the same time too, I'm like, maybe I should just get like the originals that they have up on the Xbox store that are just from the original Xbox versions that sometimes they're on sale for like $5. And I probably should have had them already because those are great deals. But it's like, if I'm gonna play the old Battlefront games, maybe I should just get those and not worry about the online mess with the Classic Collection, because it was just such a disappointment to hear. So I was like, how can you screw that up? The most important feature of a Battlefront game is the online, especially for Battlefront 2. So to hear just how messed up it was just really disappointing to hear. And I'm not sure, have they said, well, that's right, I think you said a tweet out about it, how they did have a patch and it actually made it worse instead of fixing some of the problems that they were having. So I'm not really keeping track on the updates as far as what they plan to do or if they're going to fix any of this stuff, but at least from what you said, it sounds like the first patch they released really didn't do anything to help solve the problems.
Well, I'll give them this. The patch that they released did make the online play a lot smoother, but it also, like, it fixed some things and caused some other issues. And I don't know if this is just on a case-by-case basis because there's so many bugs and whatever, but, like, you know, back in those old Battlefront games, like you would create an in-game profile that would like track all your stats and everything. So I made a profile like the first night I played it. And when I came back and played a couple days later, after they released the first update, I couldn't load my profile. Like it was corrupted because I'm, you know, maybe because of the changes they made in the patch or whatever. So I had to completely start over. Not that I had gotten very far, but it was still annoying to be like, sure. Okay, you know, starting up the game for the first time after an update, and the first thing I see is that my profile is corrupted and keeps kicking me back to the main menu every time I try to load it. That's not a promising start. So then, of course, I start a new profile, and every time I create a new profile, I got to go and like adjust the settings and make sure that the controls are the way I want them. And I play with my controls inverted. Now, I had seen some people that, you know, even on launch day were like, hey, one of the bugs in here is that there's no invert control option in the menu. And I was like, well, that sucks. And like, that would mess me up because I play with my controls inverted. But for me, it worked fine. Like in the controls menu, the option was right there. And I saw other people posting screenshots of it where it was like same control menu, but that option was just not there. And I was like, man, I feel bad for those people. Well, guess what? This update, my invert control option was gone. Yeah. Now, luckily, at the very least, the game starts with the controls inverted by default just for Starfighters. So I went online and I played a Starfighter assault match and was like kicking butt, and it was smooth and it was great, and I was shooting people down. But then, you know, I land the ship in the hangar, get out, and I'm like spinning around and looking the wrong way and everything, so I can't change my controls. So yeah, it's like, you know, I'll at least give them credit for making the online play smoother with that first patch. I don't know if they've updated it since then, because I think it released like on a Wednesday, technically Thursday, but you know, it was like Wednesday night it was available to play. And then I played it like a couple days later on Friday after they released that first patch. And then like I haven't played it since then, I don't think. So it's now almost a week later, and you know, maybe I'll see if they've updated it again. But yeah, I mean, like the single player works fine. I did a couple of instant action matches and stuff, and it's definitely, you know, it's fun and it's great to kind of relive that nostalgia of those original classic Battlefront games and stuff. But I think the big draw for a lot of people, and like you said, like you could just go back and buy the old games for like $5. But I think, you know, I don't know sort of what level of like enhancements that they've made, but, again, this is not like a, you know, a sort of a big remaster effort or anything like that, but you know, they've upscaled it to like the 4K resolution and stuff like that. So, you know, it's nice to just be able to play it kind of with a slightly newer polish to it, but also like with those older versions, I think the online servers aren't active anymore. And so to have a new version of it where you can play online with, you know, these big 64 player matches and stuff, that was the biggest draw for a lot of people. And to get to play with friends again and stuff. And like, I know, again, that was one of the biggest complaints is people couldn't find the matches that their friends were in. And, you know, it was just kind of the big hectic mess when it first launched. So all that to say, I hope in time this, you know, turns into a worthwhile purchase. I hope that they update it and patch it and stuff to get it working the way it's supposed to, you know, for the sake of all the people that were excited for this and wanting to play these games again. But you know, for people like you that are, you know, have other games on their plate and are not in a big rush to get around to this, it's like, yeah, take your time. And hopefully by the time you get around to it, it'll be, you know, in a working condition. But man, it just sucks that like, A, we have all this, you know, just negative news going on with Star Wars games, and B, just with Battlefront specifically, it's like, we cannot catch a break with, you know, these Battlefront releases and the bad publicity and having issues and that kind of stuff. So, but I've seen people point out, like, if there's a silver lining to this, you know, the reason people are so mad is because they were so excited to play this because, you know, people still have a lot of love for those classic games and for the franchise in general. And actually, since the Classic Collection came out, I've been playing more of the newer Battlefront 2. Because I had, like, I've been playing other games. I haven't been playing as much Battlefront recently, but I was like, oh, well, I've you know, kind of want to scratch that Battlefront itch, and the Classic Collection is a mess, so let me just hop into the newer game. And, you know, I was still finding full matches on there and having a blast playing with people. So just the, you know, the fact that people are still so passionate about it, and the fact that, you know, even though it's not necessarily good news or good attention, like the fact that there is so much attention around the issues that this old game is getting because there's still so many people invested in it. You know, hopefully somebody is paying attention and going, oh, maybe we should make a new Battlefront game because people still seem to be interested in this.
You would hope so. But, well, at least the Dark Forces remaster launch went smoothly, I think, without a hitch. I haven't heard too many complaints or issues with that. My brother actually got it on the Switch, and he's been playing that, so he's having fun revisiting that one. So that's another old Star Wars game I got to add to my list that I want to get to, which I'll probably get before the Battlefront Classic Collection. But it's to say this, like, it's cool that they're doing these remasters and re-releases for these classic Star Wars games. I would love it if they do Rebel Assault 2. I remember we're talking about that.
Oh my gosh.
On our video game specific episode, we're talking about our favorites and how I had Rebel Assault 2 on there. I would love it if that kind of got, not even a remaster, just a re-release and all its cheesy glory with its real life actors and everything. But gameplay wise, I still think it was a pretty fun arcade rail shooter. So, yeah, I just hope they still keep doing this, but just do a better job of making sure these launch well, so where they could be playable. There's no issues for it. I don't think it should be that hard.
You wouldn't think so. But
here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, so hopefully they can turn that thing around. I guess maybe a small bit of positive or potentially positive news on the gaming front. Speaking of the KOTOR remake, which is now being handled by Saber Interactive, they were recently sold off, I think, by their parent company, Embracer Group. And so I think they're now like their own independent studio, or I'm not sure who owns them now, but they're not part of this big conglomerate anymore. And I mean, who knows with the delays in development and stuff, you know, that this game has had so far, how much of it was due to the studio, how much of it was due to the Embracer Group. I don't know, but Embracer Group also owns Aspyr. And I think they were the ones that just kind of took the project away from Aspyr and gave it to Saber. And now Saber is off doing their own thing, supposedly still working on this game. We really haven't heard much in the way of details or even rumors of like if things are trending in the right direction or not. I feel like there keeps being rumors keep popping up that the game is canceled, and then, you know, somebody will be like, oh no, actually, according to my sources, Saber, like, it's still in development, and that's all we know. So will it still happen? Who knows? But if anything, you know, the way that we've seen things go with EA, with these studios that are, you know, part of this big corporation, hopefully Saber being off on their own and not having that level of oversight and meddling and, you know, just kind of being able to do their own thing, maybe more creative control over things might be a good thing for the game. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that the KOTOR remake sees the light of day at some point, but I'm also not waiting with bated breath for it to be anytime soon. We'll just kind of have to wait and see.
We'll find out one of these years.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the gaming stuff. There's also been, you know, just a little bit of collecting news recently. Right now they've got this Imperial March Star Wars event that's going on. It's kind of like this year's version of, you know, Force Friday. And then more recently they've been having like the Mando Mondays, where like every Monday during a new season of Mando, they'll release new products related to it and stuff. Well, now they're doing Imperial March, where like every week they drop new items and reveals and stuff. And so there's been, you know, some action figures and jewelry and accessories and some actual blue milk that apparently is going to be hitting stores in April. Yeah, if you're into collecting stuff, you know, you can go check that stuff out at StarWars.com. There's been a lot of new Black Series figures revealed, including some from the Acolyte, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But also, speaking of collecting stuff, and especially for those of you that are into collecting the physical media releases, we got the first two seasons of The Mandalorian released on 4K disc last year, and now Obi-Wan Kenobi and the first season of Andor are going to be available. Let's see, what's the release date for this?
April 30th.
April 30th, yeah. And those are available for pre-order now. So, yeah, if you're a physical media collector and you want to add those to your collection, you can check those out. I will say I still haven't bought any of them yet. I probably will at some point. And it's cool that they're releasing Obi-Wan and Andor. I think I still would probably, like, if anything, I would buy Mando season 2. But I might just end up getting both of those first seasons of Mando. But I think the first one that I probably will just jump on right away is when they release Ahsoka. So when, you know, once maybe later this year or something, if they announce Ahsoka coming to 4K, I'll probably get that. And then maybe that'll start me collecting some of these other ones. We'll see.
Yeah, just keep these physical releases coming, because the first two Mando sets are great. And I love the cover for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. I just love the visual of seeing Obi-Wan and Vader and then Obi-Wan and Leia in the center there. I just think it's great. That really captures what's great about this show in general. So definitely we'll be getting those as soon as they come out. So I'm looking forward to that. And just like you said, Ahsoka, though, is going to be the big one. I think that's going to be really cool to have on just a physical copy of that, hopefully with some cool special features, since we haven't gotten a Disney Gallery episode of that. And I'm starting to lose faith that we ever will. So if we get some type of documentary for Ahsoka, it would definitely be cool to have that on the physical media release. So yeah, I was happy to get this news that the, I guess the Mandalorian ones were successful enough to where they're going to keep doing more of them. And let's just do all the Star Wars series that they have on Disney Plus. Let's just get them all out in physical media at some point. So yeah, I was excited to learn this news and really like how the Obi-Wan cover is. That's going to look awesome with the other Star Wars movies on my physical media collection shelf.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they would do it this way, but if for whatever reason they decided to save the Ahsoka Disney Gallery to have it as a special on the 4K disc, like I would be kind of mad. And at the same time, it would make it an easy day one purchase for me.
Right. maybe that's why they're doing it.
It may be, maybe. But yeah, because, you know, these have some featurettes and stuff included with them. Even with Obi-Wan, they've got a director commentary from Deborah Chow on the finale. That's cool. Yeah, I'll be interested to see, especially with Ahsoka, like what kind of special features and stuff come with.
Oh man, but the ultimate would be if Dave Filoni could do a commentary on every episode of Ahsoka.
Or if nothing else, a Dave Filoni commentary on Shadow Warrior.
Yes.
That also would make it an easy buy for me. So Filoni commentaries on every episode. Yeah, I'll pony up the $50 for that.
And then we could have Dave Filoni, Hayden Christensen, and Rosario Dawson all on the Shadow Warrior episode. That would be cool too.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the cases and the packaging and stuff for these are great. So yeah, I'm glad that these keep coming, especially again, like I've talked about it before, like just for me, I like the convenience of stuff on streaming, and I have a good enough like TV and internet setup and stuff that like I know that the 4K, the disc stuff is higher quality, but for me, it's just not, it's not enough of a noticeable difference to be worth like the $50 or whatever when I'm still paying for all these streaming services and stuff anyways. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm very glad that they're doing these because I know that there are people out there that are, you know, big fans and collectors of this kind of stuff. But also just like in the landscape that we're in right now, where you have freaking Warner Brothers just like scrapping right. fully completed movies. And I mean, even with Disney Plus having stuff like Willow and, you know, some of their other like original series that they just will randomly pull off the streaming service. Like, I mean, it's hard to see them doing that with Star Wars stuff. Like you would think if, because they don't do a lot of physical media releases for this stuff, if it's popular enough to get a physical media release, it's also going to be popular enough to stay on the streaming service. Like I'm not worried about the Star Wars stuff disappearing, but at the same time,
You just never know though. There's always that fear.
It's good to have that option. And even exactly. as someone who doesn't often pay the extra money for that option, I still like that that option is there. And when you have something come along like Ahsoka that I'm really passionate about, and I'm like, I really would love to add that to my collection. Like I'm looking forward to being able to do that. So, yeah, hope they keep them coming. I don't know why they skipped over Book of Boba Fett and went straight to, you know, Obi-Wan and Andor, but, yeah, I don't know, maybe like if they keep releasing these in pairs, like maybe Ahsoka and Book of Boba will be the next two to come out.
Well, I've heard some like just ideas thinking from other fans how releasing Book of Boba Fett along with Mandalorian season 3 kind of makes sense since they kind of together, especially with Din and Grogu. So that could be,
You know what? That would make sense. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But then it's like, if they do that, then how long are we going to have to wait for Ahsoka?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest.
Because then there's a big gap between Ahsoka and, you know, The Acolyte coming out almost a year later. So
I think Ahsoka is probably going to be the last one that we're going to get. I'm hoping that they kind of spread them out throughout the year, where maybe by the end of 2024, we'll have all of them. At least every series before 2024, because I don't think we're going to get The Acolyte on a physical media release this year. Like Ahsoka to close out this year, that would be cool.
Yeah, like maybe Mando season 3 and Book of Boba Fett like in the fall, and then Ahsoka around the holidays or something like that. Yeah, that would be cool. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they keep coming, and obviously, you know, it seems like the first round was successful enough that they're doing more of them. So,
and also, let me just throw in too. I just released a new complete series box set of the Clone Wars with season 7 on there.
There you go.
Get that without question as well. Because I know
with,
you got
with season six.
That's right, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because so season six did get a physical release, but it wasn't included. You know, they came out with like a special collector's edition box set of just seasons one through five.
Yeah. And I never got that, but that box set, like this, the design and the artwork on it looked really cool. So
yeah.
But,
and I did get it. And it was, that was really cool to have. Especially because at the time, that was the only place where they had like extended cuts of certain episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, lots of like special features and director commentary and all that kind of stuff. Plus, like it came with an art book. For a long time, I got good use out of those Blu-rays. But then, and then when season six, you know, the Lost Missions came out, I got that on Blu-ray as well. But that's just a, you know, separate standalone thing.
And then
there hasn't
like,
been a release for season seven.
I don't like that tagline, the Lost Missions, especially now since it's not even the last episodes of the series. Now that we got season seven, so it was like, get a full collection, we'll lose that tagline, it'll just be season six, and we'll just have a nice complete box set of the Clone Wars in its entirety. And
yeah,
a cool special feature would be something we keep talking about, just like a movie cut of the Siege of Mandalore. Where
that's exactly what I was just gonna say. Yeah, that would be really cool. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe we can get some stuff with like Bad Batch along with that. I was going to say Rebels too, but I'm like, no, Rebels already got a physical release because I have Rebels on Blu-ray.
If they want to re-release them in 4K, I'll buy it. So
yeah, I mean, that would be nice. But yeah, they haven't released any of Bad Batch. And with this year being the final season, like maybe they'll just do a release of all three of them as a box set or something like that.
Yeah, so it would make sense.
But yeah, they got options. And clearly the demand is there because, you know, they're starting to do more of them. So, hopefully they keep them coming. All right. So the last bit of news that we'll get into before we talk about the Acolyte was actually, this was something interesting that just popped up a week or so ago. This is according to Hollywood Reporter. Patty Jenkins says she's back on working on Rogue Squadron. And, you know, obviously they announced that Rogue Squadron movie that was initially slated to release last year. And obviously that didn't happen. But, you know, at the time it was like they weren't happy with how the script was progressing or whatever initially. And she had other projects she had to get to with like Wonder Woman 3 and stuff. And so they just kind of put it on the back burner. They said it was sort of indefinitely delayed and talked about it like it still might happen one day. But of course, you know, I know a lot of people were skeptical and it was like, okay, yeah, sure. Like I'll believe it when I see it. So now she's saying that, you know, after some of those other projects fell through, she's back at Lucasfilm developing this Rogue Squadron movie again, which to me, you know, part of me still is like, okay, I'll believe it when I see, you know, an actual trailer or at least, you know, hear about the movie, like going into production and not just you guys kind of, you know, working on a script or whatever. But at the same time, just, you know, that sort of little teaser announcement video that they did for it and talking about her influences and the kind of movie that she wanted to make, it's always sounded like a really cool movie that I would love to see. So I hope they're able to get it off the ground and, you know, still make it happen. So I'm not sure where that would fit sort of in the timeline of the other Star Wars movies that they've announced and sort of what the order is going to be for the next few years. But yeah, if they get this one up and running again and we get this Rogue Squadron movie in the next few years, I'd be all for that.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good sign that I didn't even think we're going to get, because to be honest, I know they never said it was officially dead, but I wasn't counting on this movie ever getting made, just like some of the other Star Wars projects that we've lost over the years. So just the fact that she mentioned that it's back in development, it was more than I was expecting. So, which is cool, because I would love to see her Rogue Squadron movie still as well, because that was one of the cool announcements we got at that Disney's investor for shareholders video, whatever it was called, where we got all those cool announcements. So the fact that it looks to be kind of back on the table, at least in the early stages, is definitely a good sign. So hopefully it'll kind of make its way through the production cycle and get done, and we'll eventually see it just a little later than we expected. But a Rogue Squadron movie would really be really, really cool. So definitely unexpected news to get, but definitely a good one.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, let's hope it keeps trending in the right direction. And, you know, that would be a cool one to add to the slate of upcoming projects that we've got. Which again is already pretty big and growing because, you know, we had, Dave's New Republic movie. We got the Rey movie. We got the Dawn of the Jedi movie, but now we got the Mandalorian and Grogu. And now we've got Rogue Squadron back in the works, and we've apparently got Lando being made as a movie now instead of a series.
Keep forgetting about that too.
For some reason, I think we mentioned that on a previous episode, but we didn't really get much into it. But that's just a baffling decision to me. Like, you know, Solo doesn't do well at the box office, and so it makes you completely rethink your strategy and turn Obi-Wan Kenobi from a movie into a series. But then also, you have a Lando spin-off series where you've got the younger version of the character from Solo, and you go, actually, you know what? Let's make that a theatrical movie instead. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm like, they better have a bang-up idea for, you know, something that would be really cool in theaters if that's the way they're going with it. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. That's that out of that group, that's the one that I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it the most. But all the other ones I'm pretty excited for. So, hopefully if, you know, things keep trending in the right direction and all goes as planned with these projects, we'll have, you know, a pretty cool slate of upcoming Star Wars movies for these next few years. But speaking of upcoming Star Wars projects, the next one that is now right around the corner is The Acolyte. And we recently got our first poster, an announcement of a release date, which is June 4th, and an official synopsis on StarWars.com, where it says, an investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi master against a dangerous warrior from his past. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal that all is not what it seems. And then the next day, we got our first trailer and our first official look at the series for those who didn't get to see the teaser at Celebration last year. And I think from the leaked, you know, bootleg versions that I saw, a lot of the stuff in this trailer was some of the same stuff from that Celebration teaser. But I think there might have been some different stuff in there as well, according to just some people I saw online who saw both versions. But it's pretty cool stuff. I don't know, Tim, what's your just kind of your first initial reaction to seeing this trailer for The Acolyte?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that they gave us that little tease on Monday saying it's coming tomorrow. We got that poster, which is a very different kind of poster than we're used to, which is just a lightsaber hilt followed by a streak of blood instead of the blade igniting, which I know was kind of divisive among some fans, but I like how it was doing something different. But just couldn't wait for that Tuesday morning. No, we're going to get it. But I was disappointed that when they announced the time, it was going to be 8 a.m. Pacific time, which is the time exactly where I have to start work. So it was like, usually I do it pretty early, like around 6 or 7 a.m. Pacific time, which I like because right when I get up, I can watch it for a bit, a little bit before I have to go to work. But this time it was like, should I wait till my first break or should I just watch it in my car, be a few minutes late? But like I said at the very beginning of this episode, where it's our first look at a brand new piece of Star Wars content that for us who didn't go to Celebration have not seen anything about it at all. This is going to be our first look. So, of course, I had to watch it right away. So I pulled up to the parking lot. It was like 8:01 or something. So I didn't quite make it on time anyway at work. I would have been a minute late. But now it was like 5 minutes late because I did watch the trailer in my car in the parking lot at my job first. So, and it was cool. It was like after I was done watching, I was like, this looks cool. I can't wait to really watch it multiple times and dive into it. Because it wasn't the ideal scenario of how to watch it for the first time. But at the same time, I just couldn't wait. So yeah, I think it looks really, really cool. I will say, if I could just be a little nitpicky or share like my one disappointment for it, and this is something that might just probably mainly on me, where that Celebration footage was just got great reactions and just was really hyped up. So I think I might have overhyped myself a little bit for it, in particular in the area of how everyone was describing like the action and the martial arts aspect of what the series is going to be. And I fully expect that the series is going to have great martial arts action in it. It's being talked about a lot from those who saw it at Celebration, and just kind of when it's being described, it's going to be kind of like a murder mystery with some cool martial arts action in it, which is going to be, so I guess, a different type of style that we've seen in Star Wars before. But what we got in this trailer didn't necessarily wow me like I was hoping it would, and that I felt that those who saw the Celebration footage did, because like you, it's been a while since I saw that leaked bootleg footage for it, but I remember even in its like really bad quality, some of the fight choreography looked really cool. And we got little glimpses of it, which where we see Carrie Ann Moss's character fighting in like that bar area, and we did get a few seconds of that in this trailer. But I felt maybe it was longer in the Celebration one, because I felt there was some, like, it looked cooler in that bootleg footage to me. So maybe it was just how it was edited, or it was a longer version in the Celebration one. So that aspect of it didn't completely blow me away with this trailer, just basing off the excitement and hype I had for it, for those who saw it at Celebration, who was really raving about the action that they got to see in that footage. So other than that, though, I just really liked the look of this trailer and how it's capturing the High Republic era after reading about that era and stories during that time period for 3 years now, and novels and comics, seeing it brought to life in live action. It looks really great. And I'm just really going to be fascinated with the story of the series about the Jedi and the Sith kind of somewhat making their presence known, but yet we know they still got to be in hiding and being operating in secret until obviously Palpatine establishes his grand plan that we see in the prequel trilogy. But just the Jedi and Sith dynamic in this era, I'm just fascinated to see how the Jedi react to seeing a potential Sith Lord or Sith apprentice, and how are they going to deal with it? And knowing that by the time we get to the Phantom Menace, the Jedi still firmly believe that the Sith have been extinct for a millennium. And I just can't wait for the series to dive into how the Jedi in this period react to that, and what's going to happen to these Jedi who encounter the Sith in this series, to get to the point how we see them in the Phantom Menace. So just a lot of stuff that I'm just really excited to see in this series. And it just looks great, from the characters that we're seeing, the settings, the different locations. That was another thing that surprised me in this trailer, was the different type of environments and planet locations we're going to be going to in this series. Because I know before we heard how it was going to be taking place on Coruscant, not necessarily it would only take place there, but, you know, just given the limitations that a TV series can have otherwise than a movie would have, where we could visit these vast different worlds and locations in one movie, a TV show would kind of have to scale it back a bit. But we're getting to some different locations, at least a few just in this trailer alone. So, and one in particular that has me pretty intrigued, which I'm sure we'll get to, but overall, I love what I saw in the trailer. I'm excited for it, and just can't wait for June 4th now to get a brand new Star Wars series that is going to take place in an era that we've never seen in live action before. And that alone just excites me, because it just takes me back to the feeling I've had before the prequels were about to come out, like 97, 98, where we knew episode one was just a couple of years away. And just the idea of knowing we're going to see a Star Wars story that's taking place at that time anyway, before everything we know about Star Wars with the original trilogy. We're going to get new characters, new timeline, new everything in these new movies. And I'm kind of getting that feeling with the Acolyte here. Just, yeah, we have the books of the High Republic, but those are about 100 years before when this is going to take place. And just speaking in terms of series and movies, getting into this time period that we've never seen before in a Star Wars TV series or movie, it has me really excited to have that same feeling that we're exploring new territory here in the past, and knowing what it could potentially lead up to is what I'm really excited about. So yeah, this trailer, while it didn't blow me away or wow me with necessarily some amazing action sequences in this trailer, the concept, the look of it, and just the potential for what it could explore in this timeline with Star Wars it was enough to get me excited. So yeah, it definitely did its job.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of felt the same way. Like, I wasn't like totally blown off my feet or anything like that, but I'm just like, man, this looks cool. Like, I love the visuals of it. I love just sort of the tone and the mystery that they're setting up. like you said, the different environments and locations, like it's just got a good Star Wars look and feel to it.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, with all these different new characters, and it's going to be set back in the High Republic era, I guess the one sort of known character that we see in here is Vernestra Rowe, who's like the teenage Jedi Knight from the books, who's now all grown up and is like sort of an older member of the Jedi Order. And I think Leslie Headland did an interview where she said that, you know, they could bring in other characters that people are familiar with from the High Republic books and stuff, but like she wants to save those for potentially a season two, and just kind of focus on Vernestra and her story. And then, you know, obviously all the new characters that they're establishing. Although I texted you and Paul after we watched this, and I was like, it hadn't really occurred to me up to that point, but like, we got to see Yoda at some point in here, right? And I wouldn't even count him as like a High Republic character that you're saving for later. It's like, if you're telling a story that's focused on the Jedi Order, and this is only like 100 or so years before the prequels, like Yoda's got to be around there somewhere.
Oh yeah. I think they're saving him for the last episode.
Well, yeah. So you said that, and I was like, I wouldn't even be surprised if he's just kind of like a recurring supporting character. That like you watch the show and it's not even like a big surprise reveal that they save or something like that. It's just something that they don't want to tease in the trailer. And like you watch it for the first time, kind of like Grogu in The Mandalorian. Like that was a big surprise reveal at the end of the first episode. And then every other episode, he's just in it. And it just makes sense that he's there. But like going into the show, we all had no idea. So it'd be kind of fun if they did something like that with Yoda. Not that he needs to be like heavily involved in the story or be in every episode, but I'm like, he's got to show up in there somewhere. But yeah, it's cool just seeing that High Republic era brought to life on screen. But it's going to be really cool to see just sort of the connective tissue and the things that they set up to have this kind of lead into the prequels and the events that start setting up, you know, the return of the Sith and Palpatine's eventual rise to power and all that kind of stuff. It's funny you mentioned the whole thing of like, okay, the, you know, we're gonna see the Sith start to reemerge, but like how much of that are the Jedi actually gonna be aware of? And that already is igniting such a huge like firestorm of debate online. I've never seen so
many
people
started on that.
I've never seen so many people take Ki-Adi-Mundi's words as gospel like they are right now. We're like, oh, he said they've been extinct for a millennia, so how can there be Sith? It's like, well, clearly there were Sith the whole time, and they were exactly, you know, biding their time. Like that's the whole point of, you know, the rule of two and the Jedi thinking that the Sith were extinct for a millennium. Now, obviously, the Sith are not going to, like, be, you know, open-faced, like, waging war against the Jedi. Like, yeah, they're going to be sticking to the shadows. They even mentioned in the beginning of the trailer, like, somebody's killing Jedi. And I don't even know if, you know, that might be a Sith Lord who's doing that, or somebody that is, you know, working for one or being manipulated by one, or, you know, doesn't even realize what a Sith is, but, you know, it's a Sith pulling the strings the whole time. But I'm sure, you know, we might see a Jedi who realizes what's going on, realizes the Sith have returned, and then they don't live long enough to tell the other Jedi about that. You know, there's ways around that where certain characters can find things out, or things can be revealed, at least to us, the audience, without it being like, okay, this is common knowledge among the Jedi now. So, yeah, just chill, let the storytellers do their thing, wait to watch the show and judge it for yourself. We don't even need to get into, there's already been so much controversy around, not just that, but, you know, the trailer in general, and, you know, there's been a lot of people disliking it and complaining about, you know, forced diversity and whatever. And, you know, it's just like the amount of things that people find to complain about with Star Wars these days is absolutely ridiculous.
See, I can't take any of the complaints I'm seeing about this trailer really seriously, because that just
screams, I can't either.
It just screams looking for, going into it looking for something to grab onto to complain about, mm-hmm. and try to cause controversy, especially with the whole trying to accuse the series of contradicting what Lucas has done in The Phantom Menace, like that type of thing. Disney's not respecting Lucas. They're contradicting what he established in The Phantom Menace because of the Sith being extinct. It's like, no, you're just really showing, when that's your main complaint, just how ignorant you are as a Star Wars fan. I'm sorry, but it's the series, it's even been said before how this is going to show, the reason I'm excited about it, or one of the reasons, is how they want to have it where in the series it's kind of show the point where obviously the High Republic, the Jedi are in their prime. We'll don't know how long it's going to be after. I assume, obviously, the books haven't finished yet. But they defeated the Nile and Marcion Roe, and that's all dealt with. Don't know how long before that. Is it exactly that 100 years or maybe a little less? But still kiting, riding high, the Jedi, as far as being the peacekeepers of the galaxy. But then this series, and Leslie Headland's even said it, how kind of start to show that chink in the armor of, like, how could the Sith kind of in the dark side cloud their ability to use the Force, as Mace Windu says in episode 2, like, where does that begin? Because it couldn't just happen overnight. And so kind of showing the foreshadowing of that and how that type of thinking of the Jedi and the decline of the Jedi would start to seep in and start here. I think that's an avenue that the series looks to explore, which I'm excited about, to where obviously the Sith, like, as you mentioned, this isn't Revenge of the Sith here where they're going to make reveal themselves, but just kind of being, having the presence be felt enough to where it makes the Jedi do some questionable things or show some chinks in their armor. And just the fact that they'll eventually get to that point that we see them in the prequels, to where they are weak enough to let a Sith Lord go and rise in power in the Senate and become the Chancellor. And so that stuff, I think, it's kind of like the foundation is going to be laid down there to how the Jedi Order eventually fell. And it wasn't something that would take time to develop. And we're going to see, like, the seeds be planted for that here. And it just makes me think, because as everyone's, or not everyone, but the complaints that we're seeing as far as Ki-Adi Mundi's line now no longer being relevant, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing how this series handles that. Because is it just going to be something as simple as whoever Jedi encounters the Sith in the series, they just die? I remember there was a Darth Maul comic where some Jedi did encounter him before he did reveal himself in the Phantom Menace, and Darth Maul just wiped them all out, and that's how they never were able to tell the Jedi Council about it. That's how that storyline dealt with it. But I think there's going to be more to it here, to where it's not something as simple as them just getting killed, whoever sees the Sith Lord. It could be something where the Jedi do something either to cover it up or keep it a secret to not cause any panic, or just after coming off their battle with the Nile, they don't want to kind of raise the alarm about the Sith returning. So maybe there are a handful of Jedi who do survive and encounter the Sith, but yet keep it to themselves for, in their mind, for the greater good, or keeping the peace and not to raise alarm, or for maybe for a different reason we don't even know about yet. But just something that I think is going to be more to it, which is going to then tie into the Jedi Order doing some things that might necessarily be the right thing to do, which will eventually lead to their downfall. So that's type of stuff that it sounds like the series is really going to explore as it goes on. And just the fact that they're already, Leslie Headland's already planning for multiple seasons for this series is also exciting, to where this type of storyline has room to be explored and breathe more, not just be a one and done season where maybe they feel they have to try to cram all this story and lore into one single season, but have the approach where we could tell it over multiple seasons is even better. So just a lot of stuff to, I know it's technically a lot of ground to cover in this gap from 100 years to the Phantom Menace, but it's just, I think, ripe for some really fascinating storytelling in this era, like I said before, with the Jedi and the Sith and how the Jedi choose to deal with that. And just seeing it from the perspective of the Sith too, and how they're going to deal with doing what little they can to eventually rise to power again. And these characters knowing it probably won't be in their lifetime for their plan to succeed. But again, laying that foundation to what we'll eventually see Palpatine accomplish. So just a lot of stuff, I think, to be excited just on that front, as far as how in this time period, the Jedi and Sith are kind of interact with each other. It might just be a very few characters who do encounter the Sith, but it's going to be something I think that we really haven't explored too much in Star Wars when it comes to the Jedi and Sith. So yeah, that whole aspect from going into how it eventually tie into what we see in the prequels is one of the things I'm most excited about for it.
Yeah, same here. And yeah, I guess I hadn't even really considered the show going like multiple seasons or anything, but I'm glad that that's something they're already considering for And yeah, especially with this only being 8 episodes, it's like, I'm interested to see sort of how much ground they cover just in this first season. And it seems like it's clearly going to start off as this thing where it's kind of like a murder mystery. But one of those things where quickly, you know, you go down the rabbit hole and discover a whole lot more than what you just initially thought this was. So depending on how big that mystery and that conspiracy ends up being and how much time they want to cover, like, you know, this could be something that goes on for multiple seasons, or it could be something like Andor where maybe it just goes for a couple. You know, like obviously, well, I guess, you know, even with Mandalorian, like we're up to, you know, 3 seasons of that now and a movie around the corner. So yeah, they could keep this going for a while if they wanted to. But yeah, we'll see how long they end up wanting to stretch it out for and sort of what the end game of this story ends up being. I still really hope it ends with something involving Plagueis, like the main Sith Lord of the series, like ends by taking Darth Plagueis as his apprentice or something like that.
I think you go a couple of ways where, I mean, they're still being coy as far as who the acolyte actually is. I mean, I'm leaning to believe it's going to be the character May, who that we see in here is the one who looks to be a killing Jedi. So is it going to be where she is the one who becomes the Sith apprentice to Plagueis, or if Plagueis is still like a generation away where she'll eventually become Plagueis's master type of scenario?
Oh yeah. No, that's definitely what I'm thinking. Like, okay, since we're still 100 years out, I think, and I don't know that May is going to end up being a Sith master, or I mean, maybe she is, like, who knows, but also I'm not necessarily convinced that she herself is going to be a Sith. Maybe she is. I mean, with the title of the Acolyte, that leads you to sort of believe somebody is going to end up being like an apprentice or a disciple to a Sith Lord or something like that. But just, you know, her character description here on StarWars.com is very vague, where it just says, May gets swept up into a sinister mystery, one that puts her into the center of a conflict in unexpected ways. But then I think I also read somewhere... So the main Jedi Master character that we see in the trailer, his name is Master Sol. And I remember reading somewhere that like May is, you know, like his former apprentice, or like someone that he has a history with.
Yeah.
And the stuff going on in this story brings them back together.
You see, I find it interesting, though, that they don't specifically say she was his Padawan or apprentice. I think they would have if that was the case. And I'm kind of hoping like she isn't his Padawan or a fallen Jedi, because we've kind of seen that before in a few stories. So if they do something different where she's someone from his past, but not necessarily a failed Padawan or anything like that, that would be more of an interesting avenue to explore to me, to see what actually their relationship other than master and apprentice.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like it seems so far like she is going to kind of be like the... either the main villain or the one that kind of leads us to the main villain, but also like it could go in unexpected ways and she could be more of like an anti-hero type. We just don't know. I'm prepared to sort of expect the unexpected with this show. Anything that seems kind of surface level obvious from the trailer, I'm just like, I'm not going to put too much stake in that yet.
I mean, the tagline for the interview that StarWars.com did with Leslie Headland, it says, whatever you think the Acolyte is, it's not. So like, she's already kind of preparing that it's not going to be what it seems from what we're seeing in the trailers and the brief descriptions, or probably all the speculation we're doing right now.
Yeah, and that's sort of the assumption that I'm operating under. But yeah, I mean, you know, she certainly seems like an interesting character. You know, it's interesting. My sort of prediction as of right now, but again, this could be a misdirect. But we see, you know, one of the first things we see in the trailer is her having that fight in the bar with Carrie Ann Moss's character, who's a Jedi Master named Indara. And obviously we don't see like how that fight resolves or anything, but like after the trailer cuts away from that, then is when we hear them say like somebody's been killing Jedi. So I wonder if, you know, everybody's all excited for like Carrie Ann Moss being back in this as like, you know, this cool Jedi Master and stuff. Maybe she's going to be the first one that we see get killed off by this character. So that was kind of the first prediction I had coming out of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, we do see her again in another shot in the trailer, but the other characters look different. Like, it could be taking place like a flashback or a different time period or something like that.
Yeah, or just before, you know, it could take place before that bar fight. Like, we could see Indara before then. I'm not saying she's just going to be in one scene where she's like in a bar and then gets killed. Like, we could get an introduction to her character before that.
Yeah. I mean, it's all possible. But even going back to the point of the Jedi character, I believe his name's Yord, who says, like, someone's killing Jedi and is just like puzzled by that, or like can't believe that's happening. And it just makes me think, again, going back to that time gap to 100 years from what we're reading now in the High Republic for their fight with the Nile and the Jedi that they lost in that conflict. But one of the main threats that they were going up against was those creatures, the Nameless, who just feed off the living force energy of the Jedi and just renders them paralyzed. They become petrified and eventually died. And that was like something the Jedi never encountered before, just did not know how to defeat it. And currently with the last novel that came out, they still don't know how to defeat it yet. So I imagine eventually they figure out how to stop those creatures. But it seems like the reaction that character had, this reminded me of that, like some new threat that's out there that's killing Jedi that, as he says in the trailer, it doesn't make sense. Like, it just seems so foreign to them that someone could take out Jedi like this. And again, leading into the little seeds of the Sith being slowly revealed again. It's just really cool. Just again, that state of mind that the Jedi had during this time period, as far as Jedi being killed, is just something that seems just so impossible.
And yet it seems to happen a lot in these High Republic stories.
Yeah. So it just made me think, just going off to what I'm assuming was the last big conflict that they've had with the Nile and leading into this, of how it's kind of making them a little scared again. And I just hope we get some callbacks to like some of the stuff we're reading in the books, like the Nameless or certain battles that Jedi have had with the Nile. So just little Easter eggs like that. I mean, I know we are going to get some Easter eggs in there sprinkled throughout the series. So I'm hoping for some name drops and some references and stuff like that. I think would be cool. But yeah, again, just going into what we can expect to see as this main threat, that's just kind of going to throw the Jedi all off course, at least for the course of this series anyway. But yeah, definitely just some interesting stuff to dive into.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, the trailer ends with like all these Jedi igniting their lightsabers and facing off against someone twirling a red lightsaber through a forest and then doing a massive like force push and knocking them all back. So it certainly seems like in this first season, we're going to have either a Sith Lord or some dark side force user revealed. Maybe that's also where, you know, some of the, you know, people taking issue with the whole Sith revealing themselves thing is like, you know, in that final shot, there's maybe like eight or so Jedi, like most of these main characters that we've been introduced to, all facing off against the, you know, this one person. So either they're all getting wiped out, or like somebody's gonna know that, you know, that this dark side force user exists. Now, a lot of people have also pointed out, like, we've seen other dark side force users that were not Sith Lords officially, and you know, it's like someone like Asajj Ventress or, you know, other people like that. So especially if the Sith have been in hiding for 1,000 years and the Jedi believe they're extinct, like the first time somebody shows up with a red lightsaber, you're not necessarily immediately going to go, oh, the Sith Empire has returned.
Yeah.
You know, so there could be any number of reasons why they just would, you know, sort of write it off as something else. But you know, all we see is this lightsaber go flying, you know, twirling, cutting through trees, and then come into a hand attached to an unknown person. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see who that person ends up being. You know, is it a new character? Is it one of the characters we've already seen in the trailer and, you know, they reveal themselves to have actually been a Sith Lord the whole time or something like that? Yeah, it would be cool to sort of get that mystery revealed and see, you know, Force users facing off again. And it's cool just seeing this many Jedi too.
I was just about to say that. Yep. I love that.
I mean, this is the first time in the Disney Star Wars era, first of all, that we've seen a live action story where the Jedi Order was in place. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else we've gotten so far has taken place after the fall of the Jedi. And, you know, we never got to really see Luke's Jedi Order. And so, you know, just seeing this many Jedi and this many lightsabers and stuff on screen again is, you know, is going to be really fun to see and kind of take you back to those prequel days where you just had all these Jedi involved and all the stuff that was going on. So that's one reason that I'm just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it just made me think we haven't seen this many Jedi ignite their lightsabers at the same time since Attack of the Clones and then the arena, really.
Yeah.
So just a small little thing, too, that I like. You're just kind of showing the different time periods where we're just so used to seeing when Jedi go to investigate a situation or going on a mission, it's usually just a master and their Padawan, just two Jedi. But this one, we're getting like a group of Jedi, it looks like, that are gonna investigate, you know, these Jedi killings on these different planets where it's not just a master and an apprentice. Maybe there are certain master and apprentice pairs amongst this group, but the fact that we've got multiple Jedi that are kind of doing investigating and to see what this threat is, I think it's just really cool. Like, we get a cool moment like that in the trailer where we see all of them ignite their lightsabers, where we do see some gold colored lightsabers, which looked awesome too. So again, just, I just love how this trailer and looks like the series as a whole is just going to show how things were in the High Republic era with the Jedi that we've read about in the books and comics. And it's just really cool to see, again, this new aspects, not new aspects, but stuff we just haven't seen too much of. With the Jedi Order in a long time. So that was just a cool way to end the trailer. We're just getting a really cool Jedi ignite their lightsaber moments. It's been much too long since we've got to see a live action.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, so I mean, who knows what kind of, you know, action we're going to see with, like, I don't think we're going to get Attack of the Clones level, you know, Battle of Geonosis type stuff, but whether it's seeing Jedi in action against, you know, sort of these different assailants or assassins or whatever, or having lightsaber duels against Sith Lords, like, you know, either way, I think that's just an enticing prospect. And especially even just from sort of some of the early glimpses that we see of like the martial arts type action and stuff. I know you said, you know, just from what we got in this trailer, it's not really like blowing you away or anything, but I'm excited more just for the potential of what they can do.
Exactly. Yeah.
You combine, you know, Jedi, assassins, Sith Lords, martial arts fights, lightsaber duels. You can only pack so much of that into 1 2-minute trailer, but just knowing that that's, you know, all of that is in their bag of tricks that they can play with, just makes me excited to show up and watch.
Mm-hmm. Without question.
Yeah. Speaking of Jedi, I haven't even talked about the most important part of this trailer yet, and that's that we finally get to see a Wookiee Jedi in live action, Master Kel Naka, played by Yunus Suotamo. So very excited to see him as well. And in fact, in his bio here, he's described as a loner who lives a solitary life. So I wonder if he's going to be more one of those Jedi that's more sort of like spiritual and in tune with nature and like kind of off doing his own thing. But I hope that we get to see him with everybody else and with his lightsaber and doing some cool stuff at some point. Cause yeah, I need some Wookiee Jedi lightsaber action in live action. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they have to, it'd be such a waste if we don't see a Wookiee Jedi in action with his lightsaber. I will say I'm not kind of bummed, I guess, that it's not Boyega from the books who,
yeah.
Unless something happens to him where he gets killed in action before the end of phase 3, I mean, he would definitely still be alive during this period. So maybe he will show up. Maybe we'll see 2 Wookiee Jedis. But the fact that we're getting a live action Wookiee Jedi is going to be cool regardless. And as you described him, a different type, because he's definitely in the description as be described as more of a loner. That's definitely different than how Boyega is in the novels and comics that we've got in the High Republic. So, and even with Gungi too. So they were both set like more upbeat Wookiee characters. And the fact that we're going to see kind of more of a solitary Wookiee is going to be interesting, but I bet solitary, but when he needs to take action and kick butt, he will be a force to be reckoned with, which I hope is one of the many cool action scenes we see in the series.
Yeah, definitely.
One other thing I wanted to mention about the trailer too, as far as the location, we're kind of towards the end where we see May standing there, and behind her is just an ocean with some green mountains, and where she sees in front of her kind of a character in the shadows that we can't make out. But am I alone in thinking that she's on Octo there? Because it looks pretty darn close to what we've seen of Octo in the sequel trilogy. And if it is, that's just another layer of fascination that I can't wait to see be explored, if this series is really going to dive into Octo a little more than what we got to see in the sequels.
You know, I hadn't even considered it. And I even saw somebody online point out there's like a similarity in... I'm scrolling through the trailer trying to find it right now, but I know the shot that you're talking about. Yeah, so you see her with, like, you know, sort of the water and like the mountains behind her, and then it cuts to a shot of her looking at somebody standing up on the rocks, and people are comparing that to the shot of, like, you see Rey standing in kind of a similar spot when she like has one of her visions with Ben, and then she like goes down into the hole where like the tunnel is down there, where she sees like the vision of herself in the mirror and all that. And just pointing out kind of visual similarities there. And it didn't even dawn on me that like, oh, this could also be Octo. But yeah, if we're dealing with, you know, sort of mysteries of the Jedi Order and maybe dealing with Sith going back to ancient sources of Jedi knowledge to try to find ways to defeat them, or, you know, whatever the case may be, like, I certainly think it would be cool to bring that back in. And yeah, just looking at it again now, like, I don't think we quite see enough of it for me to go, oh, that's definitely Octo, but we also, like, it certainly could be. Like, it looks close enough that I'm like, you know, if you told me that's Octo, I believe you. And I think that would be a really cool avenue for them to go with the story. So
same. I mean, I probably shouldn't think this way, but it's like, to me, it looks too similar for it not to be. And almost to a point where, like, why would you design another planet to look that close to it if it's not Octo?
Yeah, so, but how many times have we said that about Jakku, Tatooine, Jeddah, Pasana, you know, all these desert planets. So.
Yeah, even the snow planets too, because I remember we thought in The Mandalorian season two, we thought he was going to Ilum to try to...
Oh, yeah.
But, so, and obviously it has happened before. That's where I got to keep my expectations in check, but it just would be so cool to go to that planet again.
Yeah, especially to kind of like dive more into the lore of it.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, that definitely would be cool. Yeah, I don't know. Was there any other particular moments or, you know, locations or anything that you wanted to talk about in particular?
Well, I guess not really a location, but another interesting fact that wasn't necessarily in the trailer, but in the databanks, is how we're going to see a new group of witches that aren't Night Sisters.
Oh, yep.
In the story. So it's kind of because there's a character named Mother Anicia, who is the leader of a coven of witches who value their independence and their preservation of their beliefs and powers. So I know there has been in phase two of the High Republic. I haven't read too much of phase two. Just I only read the comics, but there was a cool comic story that took place on Jeddah, where all these different like groups, it was like religions of that use the Force, kind of came together for almost like a convention, so to speak. But obviously a lot didn't agree and with each other's ideals and philosophies and stuff like that. I don't necessarily remember if this group of witches was among there or if it's something that's totally new. But just going into that fact that there are these different factions out there that could use the Force in their own way, and how kind of, as the description here of this group, wants their independence, I can only think that's from the Jedi, who's obviously the main group of Force users in the galaxy that everyone knows about. And so it's just going to be interesting to see another faction that could deal with the Force in their own way. And looks to be at least visually different than the Night Sisters. This group looks to be kind of in more bluish purple instead of the red that the Night Sisters are known for. But and she has that line in the trailer saying about it's not about good or evil, but about power, paraphrasing there, but kind of being the main focus of what they're after here. So it's just going to be, again, interesting to see how they're going to, this organization is going to fit into the story when we got the Jedi, of course, and then seeing the Sith slowly kind of make their presence known and still be in hiding here. So if this is like, is the Acolyte, is Mei going to be going after not only just Jedi, but maybe different factions of Force users in the galaxy? So maybe this is just the first of some other of those groups that I was talking about in that High Republic comic that maybe we might see over the course of, maybe not just the season, but over the series too, because that would be another cool avenue to explore, where we see more of these different groups that can use the Force and have their own ways and beliefs and how the Force should be used. So I thought that was something interesting that I wasn't expecting to see in the series. And in the trailer, it doesn't make it very clear, but when we got the data bank to see that it is a group of witches, it's just like, oh, okay, so they're going to go down that route as well, which should be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, are these, you know, are they Night Sisters? Are they like an offshoot of the Night Sisters? But like visually, you know, they look completely different. So yeah, you're right. Anytime we get to sort of delve into like mythology around different groups of Force users, or, you know, people with a totally different perspective on it than we've seen before, it's always really interesting to see kind of where they go with that. And especially with, you know, we kind of already had the Night Sisters as like the witch, you know, viewing the Force as magic kind of faction, but now we're going to get, you know, potentially a whole different take on that. So yeah, that'll be cool to see. The only thing that makes me wonder if they have some connection to the Night Sisters is the fact that they're being so heavily brought in now with like Ahsoka, and, you know, probably going to play a big part in Dave's movie. So it's like, are they trying to tie this in somehow, or is this just a completely different group of witches that has nothing to do with that? But, you know, regardless, you know, it'll be cool to see just what sort of new lore they bring in around that. I wonder if maybe they have the same ancient like ancestors that came from Peridia. And since then, you know, these ones have just split off and done their own thing and become something completely different from Night Sisters. Or maybe there's something, you know, specific to a certain planet. Maybe they're just witches and, you know, have nothing to do with like the Force, but they're just into their own magic or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Lots of different ways they could go with it. So I'm sure that's, you know, going to be another, just another interesting layer and aspect to the series. Because, I mean, just from what we've seen with the Night Sisters so far, we know when you already have conflict between Jedi and Sith, or the, you know, the Republic and the Separatists or whatever, and then you throw this group of witches with their own agenda into it, it, you know, can cause all kinds of chaos. So
yeah,
but it'll be fun to see what happens.
That's for sure, yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's pretty much all the main points in there that I wanted to hit. Again, I'm excited for it. It comes out June 4th with a 2-episode premiere. We didn't talk about that yet. And actually, they announced like the list of directors and who's doing which one. So Leslie Headland, who's the main, you know, showrunner and head writer, she also directed episodes 1 and 2. And then director, sorry, I'm checking the list again real quick, but somebody named Koganada is directing episodes 3 and 7. Alex Garcia Lopez is directing episodes 4 and 5, and Hanel Culpepper is directing episodes 6 and 8. And then also they announced the soundtrack is being done by Michael Abels. So that's just a little bit more on who's, you know, behind the camera and the directors for each episode and stuff. But yeah, I'm excited for it. You know, June 4th, so it's a month after May 4th, so I'm sure that's probably when we're gonna get our next you know, full official trailer for the Acolyte, along with all the Phantom Menace stuff and everything that's happening there.
I think it's a brilliant marketing move too, to pair a sneak preview of the Acolyte with the Phantom Menace screenings.
That's true. I forgot about that too.
To have it be with what was previously the first in the timeline when it comes to live action Star Wars, and then now we're getting finally a new story that takes place even before episode 1, to have them linked together to get a sneak preview of that is going to be really cool. So maybe that's where will be like a little behind the scenes documentary, and at the end it'll be a new trailer for it to get everyone even more excited.
Yeah, or maybe even like an extended clip or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they also did that a couple years ago for Andor. They re-released Rogue One in theaters. That's right. And included like a sneak preview of Andor at the beginning of that. And I remember I went to go see that, and it was, they released a clip online around the same time or maybe a little bit later, but I remember the one that we got to see in theaters was an extended version of it. And then they also, I think they showed a little like behind the scenes featurette with Diego Luna and Tony Gilroy talking about it. And I think they showed the main trailer. But we did get to see like an extended version of a scene as well. So I think all in all, it was maybe like 10 minutes worth of stuff. So yeah, if they do something similar for The Acolyte for those Phantom Menace screenings, that would be cool. And you're right. I had that same thought that like, I mean, I'm sure they probably would do that anyway, just because The Acolyte's coming out this year and it's the 25th anniversary of Phantom Menace. But yeah, with Phantom Menace being the movie in the timeline that's closest to The Acolyte, like it just makes that much more sense to pair those two up together. So yeah, that'll be cool. We get to watch Phantom Menace and then get a sneak peek at the story that's going to tell us, you know, how we got there.
It's going to be a good month. May yeah. into June. Yeah. That's because yeah, Bad definitely. Batch will just be ending around that time too. So
yep.
It's going to be a great barrage of Star Wars stuff once we get to
yep. that. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And also too, back to, not to say back, but just how Bad Batch has been airing on Wednesdays and with the midnight release, but I guess it's just going to be for the live action stuff where it's going to be Tuesday nights where it's 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, which I wish is for everything, but at least for now, if it's still for the main live action stuff, I'm so glad that that's the case, because again, it was so good to have that for Ahsoka. And I'm glad they're at least continuing it for this as well. Just wish they'd do it for the animated stuff.
I wish they would too. But yeah, definitely for something like this, it's like, all right, yeah, we can all have that appointment viewing and, you know, watch it together on Tuesday night. So yeah, that'll be a good time. That'll be something fun to look forward to. And it was a blast doing that with Ahsoka and getting to you know, immediately go online and see everybody's reaction to it and not have to stay up till midnight every night to watch those episodes. So,
my only problem is waiting for it to get dark, like around eight o'clock by June.
Oh, it'll yeah.
Be that longer.
Yeah.
If it was airing in the fall, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, that would be nice. But yeah, well, you know, that's, I don't know if I'd quite say June is right around the corner, but it'll definitely be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. First it'll be May 4th and we'll get that sneak preview and everything. And then, you know, June 4th will be just right on hot on its heels. So,
And we got Bad Batch to keep us tidy in April as we lead up to all this stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's going to be wrapped up before you know it. Cause, I know we got another double episode coming up at some point. So yeah, it's gonna go quick. Also, I don't even know if I've talked about this on this podcast, because I've been doing Rebel Cells every week with Mike and Joe, you know, talking about the episodes of Bad Batch over there. But we got access to preview screeners for the first 8 episodes, and so I haven't, like, obviously I haven't been on here to talk with you guys about it, because I missed the last episode, and you know, we just haven't recorded in a while since then. But I haven't even like been that active on social media, like talking about Bad Batch or anything, just because like it's been kind of weird being like so far ahead of everybody else and like not wanting to accidentally spoil anything or like pretend like I had, you know, I have to pretend like I just saw it with everybody else when it's like, oh yeah, I saw that weeks ago and I've kind of moved on to other stuff. But like we're all caught up now. Like the most recent episode that came out this past week was the last one that we got to watch early. So now I'm excited to get to watch the rest of the season with everybody else and kind of get back more into the discussion and the speculation about what's going to happen next. But it's been great so far. I mean, you know, this whole season has, they've been knocking it out of the park and, you know, going all out for this one final run. So yeah, it'll be exciting to talk about that for these last few weeks as they wrap up the season. And then also, you know, throughout the rest of this year, I wonder if, well, there, they haven't like officially announced a release date or anything, but I think it's at least sort of expected that we're getting season two of Tales of the Jedi later this year.
Yeah, well, we've been assuming. We know.
Yeah, that's the assumption anyway. I still never like took that as gospel. I'm like, okay, I don't know where people are getting that from, but if we do get it this year, cool. I hope we do, but yeah, we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But like between that and then just finding out what Lucasfilm Animation is going to be doing next, like what's going to be the next big thing after Bad Batch. So I'm excited to get some more of those updates, hopefully throughout the rest of the year once Bad Batch ends too.
Yeah, that'd be good to know what's ahead for Lucasfilm Animation, but I just echo what you said. I know we'll have an episode about it, but Bad Batch season 3 has been fantastic. And me and Paul were raving about the first 3 episodes, and we've gotten some really great stories and episodes after those first 3, especially the 5th one, The Return. That one, I have a lot to say on that one, but I'll just say it's living up to the hype I've heard about it as far as from you and those I know who've got to see those 8 episode screeners earlier, saying like they're saving the best for last this season. I think that's been the case so far, but and I've read at the halfway point right now, the best is probably still yet to come. I just can't wait to see how the story wraps up for Clone Force 99. So it's been a great ride, and try to enjoy it while I can. We still got 8 episodes left, but it's going to be over before we know it. Sad to say, it's like one of those things where I can't wait to see how it ends, but I don't want it to end at the same time. So
yeah,
just trying to enjoy the ride week to week as we're getting these episodes.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, that'll definitely be a big focus of our next episode. I'm sure Paul's going to want to talk some about the Acolyte trailer too, but then we can have kind of a big Bad Batch catch up session. And just kind of share our thoughts on the season so far up to that point. But yeah, I think as far as all this other news and the Acolyte and everything, I think we've, kind of said all we need to say for now. But I know you put out the question on social media as well for our listeners, asking, you know, what people thought of the Acolyte trailer. So did we get any responses over there?
Yeah, so first up, we got Darth Ridiculous. He says, it looks stunning. Seems like it will have a lot of suspense, world building, and expansive storytelling. And then Rural Farm Boy says he is curiously excited. And then also, I got to mention from JD Fish and then from Carlos, Drew Baca, they've all sent like these gifts of their reactions for the Acolyte trailer, all very positive about it. So thank you guys for sharing your reactions via GIF of how you think it looks good and are excited for it. So
which is the best way to communicate.
Of course. Pretty soon
I speak fluent GIF.
Yeah, we'll only be speaking GIF probably in the near future.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Anytime there's a new Star Wars project that comes out, like Tim and I exclusively communicate in GIFs from it.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I was just waiting for one from the Acolyte to become readily available, which there's some good ones out there now. So that are appropriate to use.
And when there's not, there's always Bad Batch.
Yeah. Then also, I just want to give a special shout out to one of our longtime listeners and friend of the show, Derek Beebe, who just published like a self-published novel, which is on Amazon called The Secret Apprentice. So, which is a fantasy-based book, which if you guys want to check it out, you could do a search for The Secret Apprentice. It's the Dynasty Book 1. So Derek, congratulations on having a self-published book out there. I mean, that's got to be a major accomplishment. That must feel great. So congratulations on that. I hope it does well. And obviously, Star Wars fans here, but as we mentioned, we recorded that Lord of the Rings special Patreon episode. So we love fantasy type stories as well. So it's cool that you're just having that creative outlet to tell an original story like that. So congratulations on that. So if anyone wants to check it out, it's called The Secret Apprentice. So just thought I'd share that for everyone out there. So again, congrats, Derek.
Yeah, definitely congratulations on that. Best of luck with, you know, hopefully the success of the book. The cover art for it looks really cool too. Like I saw Derek posting that on Facebook and I was like, oh, this is like professional looking, you know, cool fantasy novel cover art. So yeah, definitely go check that out if that's something that you're interested in. But yeah, thank you guys for chiming in with your thoughts and replies and GIFs and all that stuff about the Acolyte, and you know, can't wait till it's here and we get to watch it and do our episodes about it and talk more Star Wars with you guys. It's always a good time. So Glad to be back. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thanks for tuning in. As always, you can follow us online on Twitter at Star Wars TSC. You can check us out on Facebook and check out our website at StarWarsTSC.com. And you can send us email at StarWarsTSC@gmail.com. If you've got comments, questions, thoughts that you want us to read on the show as well. So those are ways you can reach out to us. Like I said, we'll be back next time to talk more Bad Batch and any other Star Wars news that might come up between now and then. But that's going to do it for now. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time, and may the Force be with you.
See you next time, everybody.